Today is a day of celebration. Not only do we celebrate the Reformation, but also today, at our second service, 8 of the youth of our congregation will affirm their baptism. A truly joyous milestone in their faith journey and in the faith journey of this congregation. We have been blessed in the past 3 weeks to hear the faith statements of these young people, what they have come to know in their 3 years of confirmation instruction, stories of important people that have walked with them on their faith journey, how they have struggled and triumphed, and how they hope to use their gifts as they continue to live out lives of faith in our congregation, in the community, and in the world. So as I reflected on our reading today from the first book of Kings, I couldn't help but wonder what Solomon's faith statement may have looked like. Now, of course, this is only my interpretation, but I think it may have gone something like this. My name is Solomon, and I am the second son of David and Bathsheba. I was born and raised in Israel and studied the faith of my forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. One person that has really influenced my faith is my father, David. My father was a faithful follower of Yahweh and a great king of Israel, a king after God's own heart. He was a courageous and committed leader, and I followed in his footsteps to the throne as king. He gave me these instructions when he anointed me king. Be strong, show yourself a man, and observe what the Lord requires. Walk in his ways and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements, as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. A time that I felt closest to God was when he appeared to me in a dream one night. He asked, or said to me, "Ask for whatever you want me to give to you." My response to the Lord's request was a discerning heart. Because God has granted me this discernment and wisdom, and I have been able to do many things for the Lord. I have served as the third king of the United Kingdom of Israel. I was able to construct the first temple in Jerusalem, and have been known as a man of great wisdom, wealth, and power. I have used my gifts as a writer, a poet, and an architect in ways that have brought glory to God. But it hasn't always been easy, and I haven't always served God in the way my father instructed me to, and it is at those times that I have felt far from God. Now I could continue to go on and on about what I think Solomon's faith statement would have been, but let's look at today's text. We are introduced to Solomon, the son of David and Bathsheba, whose story we heard last week. Following in David's footsteps was no easy task, as he was the golden king, the man after God's own heart, and an incredible musician. On the other hand, Solomon is a young, inexperienced leader who sincerely wanted God's guidance as he transitioned into this new position. At age 20, Solomon was promoted to a position that called for a level of maturity he knew he didn't have. The fact that he even recognized this demonstrates to us that Solomon already possessed some amount of unusually good judgment. Solomon said, "I am only a child. I do not know how to go out or come in." Now, prior to our reading today in 1 Kings chapters 1 and 2, we see Solomon's somewhat cunning way of establishing his kingship. There is a touch of irony here as he conspired with his mom Bathsheba and the prophet Nathan to appoint him king instead of his brother, who had tried to take the throne against the will of David. Solomon also had his rivals assassinated in order to secure his grip on the kingdom. The last verse in 1 Kings chapter 1 says the kingdom was now firmly established in Solomon's hand. Now you should know the name Solomon is derived from the Hebrew word shalom, which means peace. So really this verse is telling us that the kingdom was established in the hand or by the power of the man of peace. a bit ironic based on his actions. So we pick up today with the reading from 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon has married the daughter of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and brought her back to Jerusalem, where he is building his palace, the temple, and the wall around Jerusalem. Solomon finds himself in Gibeon offering 1,000 burnt offerings when the Lord appears to him in a dream. The Lord said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give to you." It's interesting that this dream occurs at a time when Solomon has been presenting burnt offerings to the Lord in high places. It's almost as if God turns the table on Solomon and asks what he should give to Solomon. The focus turns from the nature of God's gift to Solomon, not Solomon's offering to God. Solomon responds and asks the Lord to grant him a discerning heart. And verse 10 says, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. This may have been the smartest thing Solomon ever did. His request was to be blessed in order to be a blessing to others. He did not ask for money, a long life, or even revenge. He asked for a discerning heart. Solomon wanted to be the best leader of God's people. He knew people were going to come to him for answers to all sorts of problems and questions. He had a great example to follow in his father David, and ultimately, Solomon asked for a gift that would benefit others. His objective was not so much to become a great king, but to become a great servant. He knew that God looked favorably on the people of Israel. God had rescued them from Egypt. He had guided them as a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud through the Sinai desert and established them in the promised land. God had led them by appointing judges and then anointing kings to guide the lives of his people. And now that awesome responsibility rested on the shoulders of Solomon. That discerning heart and mind that was given to Solomon is also given to each of us. We too have been given a gift. We may not be as wise as Solomon in the ways of the world. We may not have the opportunities as Solomon to establish an empire, expand a kingdom, to build a temple of gold and ivory. We may not live as kings. But we have been given a gift. A gift given by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the miracle of baptism, and the affirmation of baptism that we will witness later today, we have received the gift of wisdom. As we will hear later in our second service, proclaim to each of our confirmands, stir up in us the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in his presence, both now and forever. So maybe our prayer today needs to be the same, not just for our confirmation students, but for all of us. Stir up in us the spirit of wisdom. So what is wisdom? Merriam-Webster defines wisdom as knowledge of what is proper or reasonable, a good sense of judgment, the natural ability to understand things that most others cannot understand, or knowledge that is gained by having many experiences in life. Now, because I enjoy working with children, I prefer these definitions that some kids have offered. Rocky, age 9, said, "Wisdom is wearing a hat when feeding seagulls." 9-year-old Carol commented, "Never ask for anything that costs more than $5 when your parents are doing their taxes." Nicholas, age 11, spoke from experience, "Never bug a pregnant mom." Kelly, age 10, has learned the dinner drill, "Don't ever be too full for dessert." And lastly, Heather, a seasoned teenager, said, "When your dad is mad and asks you, 'Do I look stupid?' don't answer him." So let's consider the second part of our text today for another definition of wisdom. Solomon, the king at the highest rung of the social ladder, is faced with a dispute between two prostitutes, two women who are very close to the lowest rung on the social ladder. The power that Solomon holds in this moment is breathtaking. But I think we need to realize that this story is not about the women and their babies. It is all about Solomon and his wisdom. You see, like Solomon, we will not always face easy decisions in this life. Sometimes the decisions we are forced to make in the name of wisdom seem ridiculous to those around us. Making the right decision is not always the popular decision. And it's not just about making good decisions, but making hard decisions, even impossible decisions. Where have you found yourself in a place where you needed to make a hard decision, an impossible decision? More importantly, to whom did you turn for advice, counsel, and strength? We are blessed as children of God by a baptism where we are made one with Christ and the whole people of God. We are blessed by the Holy Spirit with gifts of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord, and joy in his presence. May we all live out these gifts as a faith statement to all we meet, each and every day of our lives. Thanks be to God.